God is moving in power again, brothers and sisters. Morning, everyone. Morning, everyone online. Morning, Pastor Mark and Christine. Praying for your recovery, your strength, and your refreshing, Pastor Mark. And everyone here loves you with an everlasting love. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather in your name. Lord, there's a move by your Spirit that's taking place in this country. Yeah, it's not getting recognized. It's not being publicized. But the Spirit of the living God is moving. The Spirit of the living God is having a way amongst your people, Father. And Father, I want to look at something this morning that you placed upon my heart to share with those that are here and those that are watching online. I ask for your direction and your guidance to speak that which you've given to me, to speak no more or no less, Father, but exactly what you want spoken. Thank you for the preparation of my heart. And I just commit this time to you, Father. And I thank you for the preparation of my heart and the preparation of my brothers and sisters' heart. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't watch the return, if you didn't watch Franklin Graham prayer march, you can, and if you have a computer, you can actually go back online. And I asked Tanya briefly this morning, what was it like? She said she'll never be the same. She was there, along with Ruth and some other people. They were there. I won't be the same just by watching and listening to it online. Because there was a move in the Spirit of the living God. And I need the Lord's help regarding what he wants me to say. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3 to start with. We all know this passage of Scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That applies to each and every one of us. That applies to this nation. It applies to God's people and applies to those that do not know him. And I want to read Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's why God is putting upon the hearts of men of God in this country for a time of repentance. To get things right with the Lord. And the Lord led me to a passage of Scripture. I've read it before, but I want to go there now because these words are very powerful. I want you to go to the second Epistle of Thessalonians. And stay there because I'm going to read something out of 1 Thessalonians first. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. See, there's a power behind this gospel when it goes forth. And that gospel has life-changing effect. In 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 12, and then I'm going to come back to some stuff. Once again, Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul founded the church of Thessalonians on his second journey. And Paul had a deep concern for this young church, which he suddenly had to leave because of what was going on with his persecution for preaching the gospel. But see, Paul, in verse 3, he's thankful and he's boasting about this church. And he's exhorting them and giving them praise and thanks for the patience and faith that they had in the persecutions and tribulations. Brothers and sisters, as Christians right now, there is persecutions and tribulations that are taking place upon us. And God sees that persecution and tribulation that's taking place. And one of the things he said, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, we're able to endure it. We're able to endure those persecutions and tribulations. God allows us to endure it. But here's what really got my attention. If I can turn the page. In verse 8, starting in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's two types of people here. Those that do not know God, and those that do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God help us that none of us ever experience that. An eternal absence from God? Why? Because they did not know God and they did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people do you run across every day that do not know God? And they may have heard the gospel, but they haven't heard the true gospel. There's a true gospel that's going forth right now in this country. And you know what? Has the same message of the first message that Jesus preached. And the first message that Jesus preached on this earth is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That same message is going forth. Same message of repentance is going forth today as it did when Jesus spoke it. That calling is going out. There's an invitation going out to everyone in the world. There's an invitation going out. I'm going to read something out of Revelation 22. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That invitation by Jesus hasn't changed. He's saying, come. He's wanting people to come to him. Whether you've known Jesus for a month, whether you've known him for 25 years, that same bidding is, he's saying, come. Draw close. If there's anything that's separating you and I from knowing him the way he wants us to know us, then we too have to repent. We have to repent. We have to allow the Lord to examine our hearts. I wrote down, the Lord is pleasing with his creation to come unto him. He has made a way for us to be rescued from an eternity without Jesus. An eternity without the presence of God. That is a scary thing to think of, brothers and sisters. An eternity without the presence of God. There are people who think they don't need Jesus. There's people that say, I've gotten this far without him. There's people that say, I've been fine up to now. That's not good enough. If you're watching by internet and you've had those thoughts, it's not good enough. It's not good enough to be able to say, I'm okay. It's just not good enough. There are people that cross our paths every day. And before I stood up here today, I had to repent of those I've allowed to cross my path without sharing the gospel to. Because see, there are people who are dying without Jesus who do not need to die without him. See, Jesus made a provision for them to live eternally with him, but they refuse to get into the Jesus lifeboat. I'm going to read a little story to you that I ran across. A fellow was stuck on his rooftop in a flood. He was praying for God to help. Soon a man in a rowboat came by and the fellow shouted to the man on the roof, jump in, I can save you. The stranded fellow shouted back, no, it's okay, I'm praying to God and he's going to save me. So the rowboat went on. Then a motorboat came by, the fellow in the motorboat shouted, jump in, I can save you. To this the stranded man said, no thanks, I'm praying to God and he's going to save me. I have faith. So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came by, and the pilot shouted down, "Grab this rope, and I will lift you to safety." To this, the stranded man again replied, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter reluctantly flew away. Soon the waters rose above the rooftop, and the man was drowned. He stood before God, and he finally got his chance to discuss the whole situation with God. At which point he exclaimed, "I had faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" Now, why do I share that story? It's because there might be some people watching over the internet. There might be some people here this morning. You're crying out, God help me. God save me. And he's sending the means to help us and to save us. And we're just letting that boat go by. See, God has an affection for a boat. If we go back to Genesis, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. After he was fed up with what was going on in the world, what did he tell Noah to build? Told Noah to build an ark. And then I'm going to start in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. See, the earth right now is filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without." Because there was a flood that was going to be coming upon the earth. And people were going to be destroyed. But God used a boat for Noah and his family and two of every kind of God's creation to be saved. And I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. See, God is warning his people of things that are not seen yet. And God is preparing that boat for you and I, that we can get in and be saved by Jesus. But see, we have a choice. Can we jump in that boat? What if Noah said, "A boat? I'm going to make a boat? Lord, you're God. You have all power. You know how laborious that's going to be? To build a boat?" See, God doesn't always do things the way we think he's going to do them. But yet he always has a means and a solution for us to be saved in the situation and circumstances we're going through. So, the salvation for Noah's family was a boat. was an ark. Just like that story I just read. That man is going to drown if he doesn't get in a boat. And when Jesus comes along and reaches out his hand to us, don't reject that hand. Grab onto that hand. That's a saving hand that's reaching down to pluck you out of whatever you're going through. Whatever difficulties you're going through, he's reaching down. Just like he said, grab that rope. He's reaching down and saying, take hold. I'm here to save you. See, on the cross, with nails driven through his hands and feet and a spear wound in his side, God's only Son, Jesus, died to pay for every wrong thing you and I have ever done. He did it on that cross. He paid for every sin and everything that would keep us from knowing Jesus. Some of us may think, you know what, I've accomplished a lot in life. You may be very religious and respected. You may have done just about everything by yourself. But I'm going to say something to you, you better hear, and you better hear closely. But there is no way you can get your sins forgiven by yourself. Hear what I just said. You can do everything in life you want to do and take credit for it. But there's one thing in life you'll never be able to do, and that's forgive yourself of your sins. The only one that can take those sins and forgive you of those sins is Jesus. No one else. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can take away those sins. I believe that in the times we're living right now, that the lifeboat that Jesus is sending is passing by one more time. It's passing by this nation one more time. It's passing by our leaders one more time. It's passing by your life and my life one more time. And see, we have a choice. We can either get in that lifeboat and allow the only one that can save us, the only one that can save this country, the only one that can save you and I from an eternal separation and no presence in God's for an eternity. That I stand here trembling thinking about that. We know what the Scripture says about the torment and everything else that will take place in hell because we choose not to fully repent of things that still may be in our heart. Go to Romans. Chapter 10. I said earlier there's an invitation that's going out. This is the invitation. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, that doesn't leave anyone out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's the responsibility of you and I? What's the responsibility of those who do not know God? What's the responsibility of those who think they know God? You got to call upon the name of the Lord. And there's only one name. That name is the name above all names, and that name is Jesus. The name of Jesus is what will get you in trouble. The name of Jesus is what got Paul in trouble. The name of Jesus is what got the disciples in trouble. God is all powerful. But you know, you don't get in trouble when you say God. You get in trouble when you say Jesus. Because Jesus is that name. There's power in that name. Devils tremble at that name. Religious people tremble at that name. But it's that name of Jesus that produces the power of the gospel to cause you and I to be saved and to call upon the name of Jesus. It's that name. It's a powerful name. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I always remember Pastor Bill. His words still ring in my ears. He used to say, if Jesus did it, then you need to do it. If Jesus didn't do it, you don't need to do it. I want to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time that Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That same message is going forth today. He's calling this nation to repent. He's calling you and I to search our hearts and repent. Go over to Mark, next book over. Starting in verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Very important thing there. He says, repent and believe the gospel. See, we have to repent before we can truly believe the gospel. Because what does repent mean? It means I'm going in this direction, away from God, and not following God. And when I repent, it means a full 180 turn, going back in the direction that God wants. And in watching the reform on that 9 o'clock on Friday night, all day Saturday, you could hear the cry. It was a cry of repentance. When Nikki Cruz shared his testimony, but you know what, Nick, you know what? You know what broke Nikki Cruz? When David Wilkerson said, Jesus loves you. He couldn't get that out of his thought process. He couldn't get it out of his heart. It pierced all the hardness that was in his heart, and it broke him. I thought it was funny he kept saying that skinny guy. Kept referring to David Wilkerson, that skinny guy. He was so skinny. But he was walking in the power and the name of Jesus, and he spoke the true gospel to him. And you heard it the whole day. There was a spirit of repentance that was flowing. Is that correct, Tanya? Yeah. You couldn't see it on the TV or on the internet if you're watching it either way. But I'll guarantee you, they didn't have to water that lawn. There were so many tears that were being shed, tears of repentance that were flowing from those people that were there. And it was speculated there was over 100,000 people. There was over 50,000 at Franklin Graham's event. That's a lot of people. But guess what? It didn't get a lot of media coverage, did it? But it got a lot of heaven coverage. The heavens heard those cries. The heavens are still hearing the cries. There's one cry that will always get God's ear, and that's a cry of repentance. Because when we cry with a true heart of repentance, that means, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it my way anymore. Go over to Acts chapter 3. It says in verse 18, but those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Then he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, we read in 1 and 2 Thessalonians that, I'm going to go back and reread it again. In verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know God, they don't obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. See, throughout the ministry of Jesus, repentance was interlaced in everything he did. When John the Baptist came, what was the first thing John the Baptist said? Said, repent. Somehow, God only knows. And that's why I believe there's such a strong stirring that's taking place in this earth today. Somehow, the church got away from preaching repentance. And got away from preaching the cross. You can't have repentance without the cross. Doesn't exist. Because it was at the cross, it was those nail-scarred hands and those nails that were driven in his feet and that side that was pierced that allowed us to have our sins forgiven and have the slate wiped clean and allow us to repent before our Heavenly Father. Without the cross, there is no repentance. Without Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice, there is no repentance. But we have the gift of repentance because of His mercy and His grace and His love. And I remember Pastor Bill said one time, you know, we all remember the cross. We all have a picture of the cross. We all have a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. We all have a picture of those nails driven through His hands and through His feet. But I remember him saying this. When you look at that cross and you see Jesus in that position, He did it for you and me. But this is what He said that I never will forget. He said, you know when God first saw you and me and how He was going to have to allow His Son to die upon that cross? When that tree was first growing. When that tree that was going to be cut down and used to make the cross. That's when God saw you and I. That's when God said, that tree is going to be the tree that I allow to be used for the reconciliation of all man to come back to my Father. That's when it first began. What a mighty God. What a loving God. See, we can never, ever take lightly the gift of repentance. And it's very quiet in here today. And it should be. Because without repentance, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no healing of our nation. I'm just going to be quiet for a second because the Spirit of God is speaking. And I just want to be sensitive to that Spirit. And I want to allow His Spirit to minister to your hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you for your long suffering. Because of your long suffering, Father, it's your desire that none would perish, Father. But that we all would come to a place of repentance. Lord, we come before you right now as a body. Asking your forgiveness. We repent before you, Father. We're asking that you examine our hearts, that you examine our motives, and that you would begin to prepare us, Father, because there's a time of corporate prayer that you're going to have take place on Tuesday night throughout the world at a place where everything began in this country. Lord, before that moment takes place, let it begin today. Let it start today, Father. Let there be an examining take place so that when we enter into a corporate prayer, Father, our hearts are right before you. Because we know that when we are truly repentant, Father, we cry out to you, you hear our cries. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the power of your gospel. Not just the words of your gospel, but the power of the gospel. The gospel that causes us to be set free. That causes us to be taken out of darkness into your marvelous light. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here right now, Father. Move in the midst of your people right now, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The only way I can close today is I have to kneel before this altar. Oh, Father, forgive us of the errors of our ways.
Tanya, could I have you come up and pray, please?
Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Because if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and we are wicked, God, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. God, continue to remind us of the covenant you made on Calvary. Continue to remind us in our sorrow and in our contrite heart, Lord, that you are in control and you are God of this nation.
Hallelujah.
You started this nation. Holy Spirit, be with our leaders. Send people, prophets across their path, Lord. raise up the Spirit of God, the Spirit of repentance, the Spirit of love for one another, but most of all, the love for you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Christian Service Center that knows you. We're a people that know you, Father, and we don't forget. We continue to remind one another in love that it was through your blood that was shed on Calvary that keeps us here, that stays us here through the Holy Spirit of the living God. Thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to the prophets of this land. Thank you for Pastor Mark and Pastor Christine who've poured forth and given forth and continue to stay in your way. Thank you, Father. God, we just bow our hearts before you in repentance. And we beseech you, Almighty God, that you have mercy once again, that you hear our prayers, and you open up the gates of heaven and pour forth your Spirit here, that we only do your will, your way, that your kingdom be built here on earth through you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am going to close with a scripture the Lord just gave me. Remember I gave the example of the flood? Person's on a rooftop. I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 59. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen.